Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
We're halfway through January 2023, and finally, after playing 34 matches, scoring 20 goals and 187 points, winning 8 trophies from a possible 9, and surviving just about wave after wave of selfie-seeking children in post-match celebrations the length and breadth of the country, David Clifford's remarkable 2022 season finally drew to a close yesterday with victory in the All-Ireland Junior Club Final in a blizzard of red cards, including one for him and another for his brother Paddy, who wasn't letting it lie in his victory speech post-match. Welcome to the show. Hey, Murph.
Hey, Owen. How's it going? Okay, well too, Ken.
Very well. Kieran, and yourself?
Oh, Gaheen took our fault.
Quite a way for Clifford's season to end at Croke Park yesterday. He scored 11 points. The usual array of ridiculous worldies. Some of which, there was one where the right half back of the number 5 anyway was on him from Stewartstown. Mm. Did everything right. There's so many points where the defender does everything right.
Yeah.
He fouls him. He drags him. He stays touch tight and Clifford just nonchalantly kicks it over the bar. So there was all of that going on. Then his madness at the end with the 6 red cards. Mm. 5 of them, I think, in injury time.
Yep.
This Kerry Tyrone rivalry is alive and well.
Anyway, it goes bone deep. Yep. You know, it's not just two squads, it's two counties that just straight up undone like each other.
Yeah. It was mad.
It was a very bad, totally
chaotic.
Very mad occasion. Of course, there's nothing madder than watching junior footballers trying to mark David Clifford. That's always the maddest thing. There's nothing madder than that.
Try to do something that the best. Well, you're asking a player who, with respect, will often be of junior football.
We're not talking, there's a broad spectrum of...
Ken, you are aware of what's going on here, right? This isn't... David Clifford has just led the best club in Kerry to the All-Ireland club title.
Mm-hmm.
He's led his junior club, which is a number of levels below senior, to a title at that level and garnered this insane amount of interest while doing it. So he's up against footballers. I mean, it's a mismatch, really, you know?
Mm.
But as Maddox might explain this later on, It's teams win games, and actually team-wise it was pretty close apparently at the weekend.
Well, I mean, close. It's like, take the two Cliffords and put them on the other team, and
take one Clifford. You took Paddy and put him on the other team.
That might have been enough to get them over the line,
yeah,
to be honest. But
controversial, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say, actually, I mean, I was about to start explaining the Kerry club system to you there, Owen.
We don't need that.
The fact of the matter is, Fuss are actually a pretty decent team, but, you know, they are elevated, let's say, by the press.
This show is about David Clifford and to a lesser extent about Paddy, who was not happy with his red, something he made quite clear in his victory speech.
To the referee and to his officials, obviously a tough game there to ref at the end. A good job other than the end when I was wrongly sent off. Unbelievable how I was sent off. And so Put a great job all around.
The raucous laughter that you could hear is in the background.
I'm enjoying the raucous laughter in studio.
Is he joking about there? Or is
oh God, no. No, he's really pissed.
Genuinely.
You can see
annoyed.
He pauses. You can hear the pause as though I should probably let this go. And then it's like, no, it was a really bad decision.
It's a pity red carded players aren't invited to address the stadium more often.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, he had also gotten a unbelievable whack across the chin for the only
horrible.
Truly merited red card.
One, yeah.
What did he get sent off?
He got sent off for, well, there's a variety of things. He threw a guy to the ground, and then people were suggesting that it was because he made contact with the facial area of one of the players on the ground, and who knows?
In fairness now, he might
was
have
it
been...
A, was, gun- it a, was it a warranted red card?
Oh, we might talk to Maliki about that.
Yeah,
I was there to see it.
We didn't see it all on television. You know, the incident that I saw didn't look like a red card to me, but maybe there was something else in the mix there as well. That the referees and the officiating team in general spotted.
Paddy Clifford might have been a bit grumpy there, despite being the winning captain. He might have been a bit put out with the way he was introduced by GAA President Larry McCarthy.
It now gives me great pleasure to present the All Ireland Junior Football Trophy to Captain of Fossa, Paddy Fitzgerald.
Oh,
I mean, Clifford is a fairly famous name. I mean, if he'd said David Clifford
there isn't a Paddy Fitzgerald.
No.
He meant
no.
to say Paddy Clifford.
Yeah. I mean, if he'd said David Clifford, then Paddy would have been...
David Clifford!
Paddy would have been upset, but I also feel like Paddy might have experienced that in the past in his life. Yeah. But the Fitzgerald thing, you're just looking at him going, what's going on? What the hell are you
Paddy Clifford's speech there reminded me of Michael Jordan's infamous Hall of Fame acceptance speech when he used the occasion to settle lifelong scores.
Leroy Smith was a guy, when I got cut, he made the team. But to the coach who actually picked Leroy over me, I wanted to make sure you understood, you made a mistake, dude. And then you had all your media naysayers. Oh, scoring champion can't win an NBA title. Or, you know, you're not as good as Magic Johnson. You're not as good as Larry Bird. You're good, but you're not as good as those guys. You know, I had to listen to all this. I mean, look around you. Yeah, they charge you $1,000 tickets for this game, for this whole event. It used to be $200. But I paid it. You know, I had no choice. I had a lot of family, a lot of friends I had to bring in. So thank you, Hall of Fame, for raising ticket price, I guess.
There you go. Slagging off the actual organizers of the Hall of Fame.
The first words out of Paddy's mouth yesterday were he wanted to thank the Croke Park officials. And then he kind of just wandered on a sort of rhetorical sort of maze for about a minute talking about how great the stadium looked. It's like, Paddy, just, you know, let's... Thank the lads who just had four players sent off in injury time for boxing the head off you and just get the hell
give
out
them
of
their three cheers.
Yeah.
Going to chat to Maliki Clerken, who reported from Croke Park for the Irish Times and also wrote a fantastic piece ahead of the game about David Clifford's run through the junior championship and the wave of interest it has provoked. A spontaneous thing, a rolling snowball of organic, innocent good, a splash of wonder in a world increasingly parched of it, wrote the extremely cogent writer, Maliki Clerken Murph, and it has been pretty incredible to watch.
It's mad. It's such a crazy thing that happened. And it did start kind of with this video that we actually talked about by this woman, Aoife O'Dowd, who Maliki talks to. And the whole idea of it is Kerry in the summertime, she was down there on holidays, even though she's from Kerry originally herself. And it's just all the kids that are like on holidays down in Kerry, just running on, just like paying in to see David Clifford play this like no mark game against Castle Gregory in the Dingle Peninsula. And it's like, just run on and just get a chance to go up to him. Can I get a photo?
Have
a chat with David Clifford. And it's such a mad, crazy thing. But, you know, and that video was brilliant because the stunning kind of Kerry landscape in the background and everything. It was just very redolent of an Irish summer, but it's continued on into the wintertime. They played the Limerick champions in a game that was sold out, you know, it sounds like an oxymoron, you know, that you play in the Ireland in the Munster Junior Championship semi-final and it's sold out. I mean, these games are played in venues where you don't pay in, you know, like there is no ticketing situation other than a guy standing at the gate before you park the car. So yeah, just an organic, beautiful.
It's a long way from Al Nasser, all the same.
Well, it is, Ken. You know, while you were debasing yourself in Qatar, reporting on this disgusting farce of a World Cup, the Gaels among us were down in Castlemahon watching Seamus Flanagan stand and pose for photographs with David Clifford. It would fill the Harvard pride tour, wouldn't it?
The look of smugness on your face. Oh, that should be on the photo for this.
It's a moment in time.
It's Stone Age stuff that I've heard from you this morning.
Before we hear from Malachy, is there a second captain slot you ever wanted to kill stone dead? Well, now's your chance. We're running our first ever Second Captains podcast listener survey, which is online right now. It's not about killing slots. It's about ways to improve the show. And if your least favourite slot happened to be killed in the process, you've always guided us on what works best. And we'd really appreciate your input more than ever now, as we want to get an idea of what works on the pod from your perspective as we approach 10 years of Second Captains in just a few weeks' time. You'll be able to access the survey on secondcaptains.com, on your Patreon email, if you're a member, on the show page of today's show, and on links on Twitter and Instagram. But you don't have to be a member to get involved in this. We're as interested in those of you who just haven't signed up yet, you know, or maybe had signed up and are a lapsed member. Mm. You're just waiting for one thing that will bring you back, and maybe this survey might provide you with the opportunity to suggest what that thing might be. Take 5 minutes, tell us what you think, what works, what doesn't. Murph's Country Pages is already dead, so no need to worry about that.
It's not even mentioned on there, is it?
I don't know if it gets a mention, no. One of our survey filler-inners will win 4 tickets to this year's Gangs All Here show of your choice. So please fill it in when you can. If you have a few minutes to spare, it won't take too long. We would love your input on this.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Malachy, how's the form?
Form's great.
Good to have you in. Good fun and croaker.
Well, yeah. It's very cold. It's January and it's cold there in July up in the seventh floor.
But you were warmed by the sight of not only the scoring display of David Clifford, but also the blizzard of red cards in which his long season ended.
I actually had to, at one stage when I was writing it up, we write in the sort of the little back room behind the press box. I had to come out of my little cubbyhole at one stage and go, hang on, at what stage was the second red card? And somebody went, it was a minute into stoppage time. All right. So There was one red card going into stoppage time at the end of the game, and there was six by the end of stoppage time. Now that's junior football.
Body Clifford looked like he wanted to just get off the pitch for the last few minutes because he was getting, one of the red cards was a bad one on him.
Outrageously.
And then was he right? We played the clip earlier. Was he right to be aggrieved about his own red card?
He wasn't. It was one of those where, you could have picked any 4 out of 20 players that transgressed. He sort of grabbed a fella and threw him to the ground. We asked him about it afterwards, and he sort of said, it was probably a black card, but how is it a red card? But anyway, it was just in the general miasma of people running at each other and grabbing each other and pulling each other. David Clifford's was completely deserved. Funny enough,
was it? 100%. That was the second yellow for Clifford.
The second yellow.
What did he do for people who missed it?
The first one is he kicked the ball off the goalie's tee.
Yeah,
the most Tyrone tactic that you could ever come across. And golden balls. Clifford goes and kicks the bloody ball off the tee as the keeper's lining up a kick out, and then he just buried a fellow with a late tackle.
It was
definitely a second yellow. So he fully deserved it.
Fortunately for them, it didn't go to extra time because they would have been struggling there with both Clifford's off the field. But I'll say, albeit they would have been playing against 11 men at that stage, if that had been the case.
I know, they'd go back to 15.
Oh, of course, forgot about that rule. So for Shane Walsh, just before we get into Clifford, I did enjoy the fact that there was this duel as well, because there was this guy, thinking Shane Walsh for Galway in the All-Ireland Senior Final, then in the All-Ireland Junior Club Final, you've got this Gareth Devlin character, a 35-year-old for Stewartstown, who's putting it up to Clifford at the other end of the field and scoring wonder scores.
Yeah. I scored him in the first half, 1-3 to 5 points.
Yeah. He was deadly. Yeah. Like Gareth Devlin's one of these fellas, he played in an All Ireland, I'm going to say junior final in 2005 against Finnoog. So Paul Galvin and Eamon Fitzmaurice's club. And he was 17 then and barely had a kick in the game. He was their sort of up-and-coming minor, had been on Tyrone minor teams and that sort of stuff. And has basically if you take a look at him, he looks like the sort of there was a good piece. Declan Bogue had a good piece with him the other day. He went to America in the summer and played in the same team as Conor Myler and a heap of the sort of freed county stars. And he'd be going, they'd be out for a night out, and Conor Myler'd have a pint and go home and be going, "Now, Gareth, come on, I'll be there after you." So he's this fella. He was on and off the fringes of the Tyrone panel over the years, but he likes playing a bit of ball, and you can see him, lovely player. He scored 1-3 in the first half, right foot, left foot, punched goal, a free point from a free, the full yoke. But they couldn't get the ball to him in the second half. Jesus, Stewartstown were a far better team.
Right.
Far better than Fusa. Fusa in the first half would just, if they got the ball to David Clifford, he scored, basically. I think he got 5 or 7 in the first half. But they couldn't really get it to him that much, and Stewartstown were just a more cohesive side, hard running, played lovely football, and it was all fine. It just turned on a stupid red card for the Stewartstown fullback, and that was it. Clifford had too much space, then he ran right.
Gets his All-Ireland, puts a cap on an incredible year, and really, it's amazing, because if his year had ended after the All-Ireland Senior Final, it's already a year for the ages. Sure. And then he goes on this run. It just struck me watching yesterday, these lads who get to play in the same team as him, it's so weird. I don't know what other sports you have this, where you get to play with this absolute already legend of the sport in a highly competitive match where there's a huge amount at stake. And I even felt, listening to some of his quotes afterwards, he seemed to feel more pressure with this, as sometimes inter-county players say they do. His dad's heavily involved with the club. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But anyway, my point being, you were a really lovely piece about the impact of the last few months and the unique kind of nature of what he's done, the interest that he's garnered in what is a very low rung in the GAA world.
There's no, because I was thinking about this last week as I was writing it, there's no real analogue for it. There's no real comparison you can make. People throw around things saying it's like if Messi went back and played for Newell's Old Boys for a while. And it's not even really like that, because like that's still, you're still going back to a professional, or you're still, it's the competition that Newell's Old Boys would be in isn't linked to this, like it's just on a completely different solar system.
Yeah, and think
to the one Messi inhabits.
Yeah, and
whereas this is like, it is still a part of the same organism, for better or worse. It is what it is, and it's like, God knows we overdo the fucking back slapping sentimentality about the GAA far, far too much, and it's a horrendously self-congratulatory organization at times. But this is actually a lovely thing, and the sense I got when I was writing it last week, but essentially for people who haven't read it, I was writing about the fact that he alone essentially was bringing crowds to junior football matches. First of all in Kerry, and like it coincided with the end of the summer holidays in Kerry, so there was kids and families from all around the country in Kerry in August, as they should be, as is the right of every Irish person, and going to watch these games. And then when there was a split then, and they played, the Cliffords went and played for East Kerry in the actual Kerry Senior Championship. And then it got back to the junior championship in sort of November. And then you were going, they won Kerry, and then they went into Munster, and they were playing games in the back arse of nowhere in Limerick, and the Munster final was in Mallow, and the All-Ireland semi-final was in Portlaoise. And you were finding crowds coming from all over to go to these games just to see this guy, to see him in this, to see him up close. And I think that's the thing, to get a feel of him. Because like, with the best will in the world, and again with all our self-congratulation, inter-county GAA is a removed thing now, and has become more so even in David Clifford's lifetime, you know, that it's, they all inter-county stars talk about the bubble that they're in, and they don't just mean the bubble away from their club mates, they mean the bubble away from the public. Because you can't go and watch David Clifford train for Kerry anymore. You can't, like, even the meet and greet nights are kind of a once in a year thing, and not every county does it and all that sort of stuff. But you can go and watch him play junior football, and you can run onto the pitch afterwards, everywhere except Croke Park, obviously. Yesterday was the one place that it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
But it was just, there's a lovely, simple, innocent good to it. And it's probably unrepeatable as well, because it was so organic, you know, like that it sort of, it started off like, as I say, with holidaymakers down in sort of West Kerry at this game on a Saturday night, and then built and built and built to the point now where, even if it happens next year, Fuss will be in intermediate, like the Kerry Championship will still be in August, there will still be holidaymakers, but it'll nearly be a kind of a performative thing by next August. Like, the like kids will be, like, there'll be people going to Kerry and building in like David Clifford sightings as part of their holiday and all that sort of stuff. So it was all, I just got the sense that it was a kind of a one-off thing, and it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, maybe no figure in the GAA is romanticised like Christy Ring. But I actually read Val Dorgan's autobiography, or biography of Christy Ring, just over the Christmas, actually. And this is what this is what it was like.
Yes.
You know, that my dad talks about the game he saw Christy Ring play. And that there's a pressure on Clifford now which is different to the pressure on anyone else. Like, and it's, this is completely divorced from anything else we've ever seen. TG Reid has been playing for Ballyhale for 20 years. Henry Shefflin played for Ballyhale for 20 years. This never, ever happened.
Did it happen a bit with Joe Canning?
Maybe
a little bit.
Yeah, a tiny bit. Right at the very start.
But even at that, hurling is still a niche thing.
Yeah, compared
you know,
to football.
People from Cavan aren't going to watch Joe Canning play in Portlaoise.
From Kilkenny, as you said in the piece, this is the first football game I've ever been at and sat in the car and drove to Portlaoise. Yeah. I mean, clubmates of mine drove down to Portlaoise last Sunday. Now, under the cover that they're the Fussa fullback used to play for Temple Oaks, Inkstreet. That doesn't explain why five of their kids also got the gear, you know. But I think the ring
thing is the one that I come back to as well, because my father-in-law, God rest him, is from Wexford and would have played with the Rackards years and years ago. And he was telling me, like, you know, long before he died, about how him and his brother would head off. And they'd be going by train or they'd be going by bicycle or whatever. This is back in the 50s because Ring was playing somewhere, Railway Cup or whatever. And they would go along and see that. And it was a thing that people did to go and see Christy Ring. And this is the closest thing to it, I think, that we've come across. Now, the Kerry Mick O'Dwyer's team, people did go to that. Like, they did used to build going in to watch them train as part of your summer holiday in Kerry. So that was a thing. But that was a more amorphous thing. Like, that was this team, the greatest team ever. This is one guy.
And it's more diffuse because there's 25 people involved in that and they're going to see Mikko and they're going, you know.
And Jacko and Spillane and the Bomber and whatever.
It's not focused on one person. Yeah. But I think so much of the piece on Saturday was about the fans, and that's an amazing thing. But Owen's point about actually getting to play against David Clifford for players at this level, that is in itself that's an extraordinary thing. The comparisons only make it more striking. Mm. So if you think of, you know, I played a frame of snooker against Steve Davis or something.
Of
you know,
yeah,
like you,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
these.
Yeah.
These snooker
I thought you
around.
Actually did the way. You
no,
said.
No.
I would have been impressed by that.
Yeah, or the darts players go around to like
course,
no mark.
Yeah.
You know, I actually did play a round of golf with Darren Clarke in Sea Point, sponsors thing. It was the year that he won the British Open.
Right,
so you can say that. Oh, I played a round of golf with Darren Clarke, which has about as much to do with Darren Clarke going down the back nine at the Open as like my drive to Lidl does with Lewis Hamilton. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's completely, it's just a non-runner. Whereas when I saw Clifford celebrate one of his points in the second half, he wheeled off and he's like, his fist was, like in this kind of grimace of determination, you know, and you're like, That's what he did in the All Ireland final.
That's my point. Yeah, you're playing against him as motivated as he would be if he was being
and Messi
marked
against,
by.
Yeah, Messi going to Newell's Old Boys is Messi in the absolute twilight of his career, and it is like kind of a romantic thing, but it's also he's doing it for the romance. He's not doing it because it matters deeply to him. Whereas you saw Clifford, he scored a point to put his club 2 points up in an All Ireland final, and he celebrated like any other pleb would. You know what I mean?
My favourite. I talked to rakes of people for a piece last week, but I think my favourite was Mark O'Shea, who was managing Lestrae, who are Fuss's neighbours, like literal next door neighbours, that like a mile and a half down the road, just outside Killarney. And they were the only team. Like, Clifford lost three games this year in the whole of the year. He lost a Sigerson Cup semi-final. He played in Kerry's last
final, wasn't it?
Final, sorry, yeah, final, yeah. yeah. Played in Kerry's last league game where Tyrone beat them and Fussa lost the last round of the Premier Junior to Lestrae. And he missed a last-minute free that would have made it a draw. But I was asking Mark O'Shea, like, what do you do? How do you prepare for him? Like, it's one thing Galway trying to prepare for him in an All-Ireland final. Like, how do you prepare for him in a junior football match? And he says, well, look, the way it was I talked to our fullback and I said, look, there's no point in me telling you anything you don't know here. I said, look, he's going to try and get on his left, try and put him on his right. That's the technical stuff. But he's going to do what he's going to do. The one bit of advice I'd give you is don't poke the bear. Don't go thinking that you're going to go and get into his head, because bigger men than you have tried it and it's just not going to happen.
It's going to backfire, essentially.
It's going to backfire, essentially. So and he did well on him in the first half, but he picked up a yellow card somewhere along the way. So at halftime, Mark switched the fullback out and put in the fullback's brother on him. and sent him in. And he says to me, and it was only as he was running out onto the pitch that I said, I forgot to tell him not to poke the bear. And sure enough, I looked up and your man was digging at him and mouthing and all this sort of stuff. And I was going mad. I says, will somebody go out there and tell him to shut the fuck up? And of course, Clifford ended up scoring 2-12. But the thing was,
By the way, that game went to extra time. Yeah. Most of the reports that I read of that game, because I mean, it was a thing that I checked throughout the year. Like, first of all, did Fussell win? And second of all, how much did he score? And most of the reports said, Lestrae held him reasonably well, but he finished with 2-12.
But the thing was that...
And both those things could be true.
Mark was telling me that he met him at a wedding, and a couple of weeks later, he was at Shane Enright's wedding. And... He was over chatting to him, and he was telling him the story of how he had forgotten to tell the brother not to poke the bear. And he said Clifford buckled at the knees laughing, and he said, I was wondering, because he came in and he was fucking and blinding and he was nipping at me and poking at me, and I was going, what has happened here?
He probably thought Mark got him to do it. That sort of thing.
Exactly.
There are loads of these great nuggets. So the semi-final that was in Limerick as well was a big one. It was sold out, which
in Castlemahan,
which is a big deal.
Cooley Roo is the stadium, the name of the ground, or the name of the townland. I think the ground might actually be named after Tommy Quaid, but it's like this the home of Joe Quaid, and Tommy Quaid, like these Limerick hurling legends, you know. And Shamey Flanagan plays for them and actually played in the game, against Clifford.
There's a photo of Clifford and Shamey Flanagan at the end of the game, they're just chatting away. Or whatever, you know, and the photograph couldn't be more like Shamey Flanagan just looks so delighted to be there. You know, it's like Beckham and unidentified fan. You know, it's like very, very funny.
But the ground has never sold out. Surely never sold out for a football game. But the Munster Council had to put out a tweet. They put out a statement on the morning of the game saying, "Okay, guy, the ground is." Sold out. Do not come if you don't have a ticket. This applies to under 16s as well.
Yeah.
The game will be streamed live on the Munster Council website.
And there will be a one-way traffic system in place. A detail which I absolutely loved.
But the whole thing was, that this place, and like, I was talking to Liam Ahern, who did the sort of the commentary for the Munster Council on the day. And he was saying, like, with the best will in the world, they were there for one person. Like, the game was over after 10 minutes. Like, Clifford was actually taken off with 20 minutes to go. I think it was 122-5 was the final score. But, like, they weren't there for Paddy Clifford. They weren't there for the Kerry Junior champions. They were there for one lad, like.
And in a weird way, you kind of talk about sort of the self-congratulatory nature of much of the reporting around club games. Mm. And that's really, really true. And this doesn't demean it in any way, but... this exists on a totally different plane.
Totally different level.
You know, that this is that this is Pelé touring, or Santos touring around the world with Pelé and like funding the entire club on the back of it. You know, it's not even watching it yesterday, I wasn't even that invested on whether Fussell won or not.
Of course not. No.
I was just,
was, because you were already talking about booking Mal in for this chat.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be a lot better if Fussell win this honour than not.
That is true.
But the thing was, it's interesting you say that, Murph. I got two emails after the piece on Saturday, both given out, of course. Nobody ever writes to say well done. But both from Tyrone people going, you know, there's a Tyrone team playing in this final as well. You know.
Amazing.
You know, how can you justify your 2,000 words on the Kerry Junior champions? Have Stewartstown not done great to get to this point as well? And you're just going, like, that sort of notion is sort of out there, but it's so completely misses the point.
Yeah, of Clifford. Yeah.
You know, that this is a story... That's sort of so beyond junior football, or so beyond everything. Like I was kind of thinking about it the other day, if he keeps going the way we have seen him going, this is the first phase of his career is over, right? So he's won his All-Ireland. He's 24 next week or the week after. We presume he'll be around for the guts of the next decade. We all kind of think that we're the first phase of one of the great Irish sporting careers is just over, and he's on to the next phase of it. So, like, we kind of think that if he keeps going in this way, and you can overdo all of this stuff and get lost in hyperbole and all this kind of carry on. But, like, this looks like one of the great Irish sporting careers. I just kind of think that the last 6 months of it are going to be a lovely little chapter.
Mm.
A lovely little strand of it that people will kind of remember. I remember that 6 months when he played when Fosu were junior, and he just kind of grabbed crowds from all over the place. I think it's just there's something really kind of beguiling to it that has nothing to do with winning the All-Ireland Junior Football Championship. It's really not there.
You're saying it could be. But this is an interesting point. How is he actually handling all this? Because we've seen people in these sorts of situations, maybe not to this level of intensity. Shane O'Donnell for a brief time after his heroics for Clare. Mm. Cullum Cooper would have had a fair bit of this as well. Shane O'Donnell, I never got the sense, was too comfortable with it. Cullum Cooper.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cullum Cooper managed it as best you can as a Kerry footballer. I don't know if he loved it either. And yeah, you know, one incident sticks in my head when he was having a few pints when it was whatever. There was an issue with the panel. Was he out of the squad for one?
Game.
It's front page story. Yeah. You know, I think there were times like that where I don't know Colin Cooper, but I imagine that sort of stuff is suffocating enough. Mm. How at this point in his career is Clifford handling all this? Does he look like he enjoys it?
That is interesting, because I think he. I talked to Eamon Fitzmaurice about this. He's in the Fossa back room, and he was saying that he handles it really so well that he could see it being claustrophobic in somebody else.
Yeah,
you know that it's just a little. That's probably a bit too much for most people. I have to say, any time that I have met him or talked to him, he knows and has known for an awful long time who he was supposed to be. Mm. Do you know, I get that real sense of him that when he was 16, he was earmarked for, like, we had all heard his name when he was 16.
Canning is the only other corollary in that respect, in the respect and that Canning, from 15 or 16 Canning people has, knew him.
And that side of it really bugged Canning. And certainly ended up really, really annoying him. You know, that I think he became quite sort of suspicious of the outside world, quite everybody wants a piece of me, and, you know, every relationship or every person I come in contact with, I'm suspicious of a little bit. Clifford is not there, or if he is there, he is hiding it well. I think he feels a certain amount of it is baked in. I think he knows that he lives in a social media world in a way that Canning didn't. And so there's a little bit of that. That's almost what I was saying about this will be a performative next year. A bit of it is kind of built on social media. It's built on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram and all this sort of stuff. These videos go everywhere because, like even when it was Shane O'Donnell, I remember interviewing Shane O'Donnell and him saying, yeah, I mean, I signed so many autographs, I had to start signing Sod instead of Shane O'Donnell. That was his big thing. But, like, you know, selfies weren't even really a thing, that big a thing in 2013. Don't go for autographs now.
Is it more difficult to keep writing, or is the pain in your face from having to smile for 1,000 selfies That's one of the questions.
I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how the next phase of his life turns out, because he is the most recognisable Gaelic footballer, most recognisable person in the GAA. And he is there's a bit of him that is public property. And I think in a way, almost to bring it all back round again, he was so delighted yesterday when we were talking to him afterwards. Him and Paddy were even cracking gags about how, geez, we had to win it this year because the father, this is his last year as chairman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, next year it'll be somebody else's glory. Like, you know, yeah. And, but that, so much of him is public property, that to do this with the old cliche with his friends that he grew up with, all that sort of stuff. He was so really very delighted with it. And I think it's going to be fascinating. I find him a fascinating guy. I think he's a very smart lad. I think there's an empathy to him. He's a teacher in the SEM in Killarney now, so he doesn't have a public facing job in the way that Gooch did. Gooch was a banker, a bank teller. Canning has always had his, but most of his pursuits or his business deals have all been again public facing. They've had to do with being Joe Canning. Clifford hasn't really done an awful lot of that yet. I was saying to him yesterday, are you going, because he didn't get to go on the Kerry team holiday. I says, you get a holiday now? And he says, well, I'll have to talk to the school about that. Like, I'm back in school tomorrow, you know? So, yeah, that side was going to be really interesting because he's not going to get any less famous over the next half a decade, you know?
Okay, Malachy, it's not the last conversation we're going to have about this
Possibly
guy
not,
in a number
no.
of years. Thanks a million.
Cheers.
In the final on it again. Andy A. Oh, what about that? Send him off! Send the drinking end off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical! Get him off the field! That's just typical what he is! Get him walking! They don't like it! Walking, Campbell, if you've got it in bottle! If you've got it in bottle, Campbell, it should walk! That was absolute diabolical! That should be sent off! It's going to be a yellow card. A gas bait. Oh, what about that? Send him off. Send the dirty guys off. You ballless get Campbell. A gas bait.
Mikael wants it at your side.
Oh, step back, step. Oh, that's his head. What about him? It's a try. Shoving up yours. He's the best club in the world. Never mind anybody else.
We've got a hell of a lot of great stuff coming up on the World Service this week, including our rugby punditry dream team of Horgan and Trimble tomorrow on the swift return to international rugby of the most straight-talking coach in the world.
It's a scammy Irish.
Recently sacked by England. That man is back, Ken. Good news for you. Eddie Jones will be at the World Cup after all. Australia sacked David Rennie, rehired Jones, who used to be their coach, of course. Maybe he hasn't properly paid attention to the World Cup draw because, sure, does he not realise that Australia are likely to face England in a quarter-final? That would mean the awkward emotion of having to knock his former team out of the World Cup so soon after working with them for so many years.
That would kill him. Really kill him.
I hope he hasn't signed on the dotted line just yet because
there are no winners in a situation like that. Oh.
And by the way, he's also signed up, I think, until the next World Cup, and that includes a Lions tour in the middle. Yeah. So Australia just bet the house on Eddie Jones, still having what it takes here. We'll talk about that all tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. Thanks, Murph. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you, Owen.
Good.
Ken,
thanks for listening. The Second Captain's Podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. If you become a World Service member, you will hear all episodes ad free.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. Those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.